This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Hit that.
Nick Kelm and Nathaniel Metcalf Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
And,
yes! It worked. First time.
My name is Nick Kelm.
And my name is Nathaniel Metcalf. And this is...
This is Five Star Fan Club.
Yeah, and it's our Easter special. It's on Good Friday, the 10th of April. But we're recording this in our own houses on Thursday, the 9th of April. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
I've been sent a whole lot of idents in various languages. Some I've never heard before.
So Nat is in charge of the desk at the moment.
Natalie's in charge of the desk. Playing this.
Nathaniel, you're in charge.
I'm running the desk.
You're running the desk. Natalie's just sat there recording stuff. Her job is essentially done now for an hour. And then in an hour's time, she can edit this. But you're
in press stop. Yeah, I'm in charge for once. Normally, you run the desk.
I do. I'm going to level with you, Nat. I'm not enjoying this at the moment. so far, this is my least favourite fan club yet. But... we'll see how the hour goes. We're only doing an hour today. We normally do 2 hours. But we'll see how this first one goes. And I'm predicting badly.
Do you know what, though? Do you know how, like, all these things all this week, everyone's been doing these things where they've been doing this, doing things remotely, and everyone's been setting up really complicated things, like with loads of people and cutting between various people in different parts of the world and the country. We've been trying to organise this for days. I am now doing it through my phone, because it wouldn't work on the laptop. Nick is on his laptop and it works.
I'm on my desktop, mate.
There we go.
This is my phone. This is my desk. Hang on, I'm going to try and get the... look at how dirty. I made a curry last night and my fingers are disgusting.
What I'm looking at, right? I'm looking at Nick. He's in a sort of 16:9 aspect ratio, whereas I am on a phone and I am
Portrait. You might call it 16:9. I call it the guest room. That's an example of a joke that we couldn't do in the studio. So it's actually improving.
Also, normally, I wouldn't describe what was happening visually in the room. There'd be no need for it. It's a mainly audio medium.
Sure.
Have we said that this is Fan Club? Probably not.
This is Fan Club. You're listening to Five Star Family Fun Size Fan Club.
So what's the first rule of Fan Club, Nick?
Normally it's tell your friends, but
don't tell your friends about this one.
I mean, the show is normally shambolic by design, but this one is just a piece of shit. I don't know. Hello, John in America. Hope you're all right.
We're trying, guys. We're trying.
He'll be listening. Oh, fuck. So, you know now that Disney's gone... I only found this out yesterday. You know Disney's gone on Sky Plus? So they've changed the Greedo shoots... Speaking of John Garrido, they've changed Greedo shoots first.
Yeah.
Just before Greedo goes to shoot Han Solo, he says, McClunky. Now he says, McClunky.
Does it come up with a subtitle?
No, but he says McClunky, and then he fires, and then Han Solo shoots him.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Should have a subtitle, at least, to tell us what he means.
It's a meme. McClunky means your time has come, or something like that, right?
Okay.
I get why they've done it, because there was all of this stuff about Han shoots first. Han always shot Greedo, right? Hmm. And then they've messed around with that bit so much. I mean, it was fine the way it was originally.
Yeah.
And then they started messing around with it. And they've done stuff where Greedo shoots first and misses from 3 foot away.
Yeah, and doesn't it come out at a funny angle? Like it comes out his gun on a sort of 90-degree angle or something.
Well, I guess that when he was on, when they were on set, you know, he was holding his gun at an angle, so they've just made a laser come out of it.
Right.
But it's not aimed at Harrison Ford. And so they've tried loads of stuff where Greedo shot first and then Han shoots like a split second later. And then they did another thing where they digitally edited Harrison Ford's head, so he sort of dodged it like that. Right. And So, like, so, but like, when were the special editions? 97. So they've been
97.
They've been fucking around with them for 23 years. And they finally come up with a thing. What they did was they crunched it down and down so that it was almost like they were shooting simultaneously, right? Mm-hmm. And the problem that George Lucas had with it is because he just always figured that if Han Solo just shot Greedo, it would make him a murderer, you know?
Right. But so, he's a rogue, isn't he? That's his whole thing. He's meant to be a bit of a...
But he's also sort of like, this is a kid's film, so he didn't want Han Solo to just... oh, by the way, there's going to be absolutely no COVID content. So, we've just jumped straight in. How are you finding lockdown, Nat? This is what I've been doing. Anyway, so I've worked it out. So George
Lucas, solved it.
George Lucas hated the fact that Han Solo was a murderer, a stone-cold killer. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So his way of doing that was like, well, it's self-defense. So Greedo shoots him, and then he shoots back in retaliation. You know, and that's why he kills him. Right. That was his 1997 thing. And then people hated it, so they tinkered around with it for years and years and years. And basically, the compromise is that now Greedo says McClunky, which basically tips off Han Solo that he's going to be attacked.
Oh, I see.
But so basically, but people are like going, why the fuck? But people literally can't work out why he's saying McClunky. And it's because in Greedo language, it means your time has come or something like that.
But then it would have made sense for them to put a subtitle in like that, right?
I'm not sure if there is a subtitle, but also I think that you could probably... It basically makes it... it basically does the same thing. I mean, he still shoots as well, but they shoot simultaneously. And it's actually, if you know that that's what he's saying, he's basically saying, I'm going to kill you. Then Harrison, you know, Han Solo shooting him kind of is a little bit more acceptable because it is self-defense. That's the thing. But anyway, just clearing it up for anyone that's watched it and can't work out why he's now saying McClunky. It's because he's basically telling Han Solo that he's going to kill him.
Have you now got your telly back? Because you didn't have any telly for weeks.
Like 10 minutes ago. They literally an hour ago. Do you know what the first thing I watched?
McClunky.
No. I'm not getting Sky. I'm not getting Disney Plus.
What was the first thing you watched?
Jack Stein.
Jack Stein. Okay. So you've got first time you've had telly in how long?
What month are we in now? April.
April.
December, January, February, March. 4 months.
4 months without TV. So you've basically been going on Blu-rays and DVDs.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because. The way Sky works is that Netflix is an app within Sky. My satellite signal was down, so I couldn't access Netflix or anything on my TV. I've got it on my in-ear. It's really sad. I had so much recycling, I couldn't get in this room. So I literally spent the whole...
What do you mean? How many bags is that you can't...
It was boxes. I had loads and loads of boxes. I bought loads of picture frames and stuff. So I just had all these cardboard boxes. And there was tons of them, and they were blocking the doorway into this room. And then basically, I got up at 11 on Sunday, and I did my recycling till 5. So it took like 6 hours to do all this recycling. So it wasn't like, it was like one of those things where you just look at it, you go, I just won't watch telly.
just gave up.
Well, but people are also sort of like, oh, you can get Netflix on your laptop. And stuff. Like, yeah, but I hate watching films on my laptop.
So. Yeah, I find it quite difficult. I find it quite difficult.
The other thing that I thought about Star Wars, not that I just don't really want to talk about it, but the other thing I thought was that George Lucas's explanation for the prequels was that it's for children. Star Wars is for children. So I love George Lucas, by the way. But his explanation was Star Wars is for children. So if you're getting upset about a children's film, you know, with the prequels, and the thing is that, yes, the original Star Wars films were for children, but they didn't feel childish. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think, and also, it's weird that when he made the prequels, they were also the first ones that had 12 certificate, where all the all the regular ones were U's anyway, weren't they?
Well, yeah, well, you start off with the Phantom Menace, which was a U, and then you get into Attack of the Clones, which is beheadings.
Beheading, and it ends with Anakin Skywalker crawling along some lava with no legs.
Well, then you get Return of the Revenge of the Sith, and Anakin Skywalker gets his legs chopped off, arm chopped off, and then he gets set on fire and he's screaming, being burnt alive. It's not like a distant shot. You get a massive close-up of Hayden Christensen getting his CGI hair burnt off, and it's just like, this is absolutely... So it's like, Phantom Menace is the most kiddie one, you know, with fart jokes and shit jokes and, you know, and you go, right, okay. And then two films later, it's like some of the most terrific imagery that you can put on film. And then it goes right back down to, you know, being... there was always sort of like, he cut someone's arm off in... Obi-Wan cut someone's arm... I mean, if you've not listened to this before, this is actually probably the nerdiest chat we've ever had.
Yeah, but it is also usually like this, just with higher quality sound.
Higher quality sound, it is like this, but this is no. Do you know what I'm finding is that the right word?
Objectionable.
What I find objectionable about this chat is that talking about Star Wars feels like it's just on brand. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
We don't talk about Star Wars, you know, we talk about John Carpenter's The Thing. Do you know what I mean? We do talk about Star Wars, but like...
Not first thing.
And also, only when it comes up, I hardly ever make a point of going, do you know what I've been thinking about recently? Has it been the pandemic, Nick? No. It's that although Star Wars is for children, it's not childish.
But you know what? If not here, where are you going to get that? No one else is talking about this stuff. They're not talking about this on Newsnight.
I've tried shouting it over at my neighbours, but they just shut the patio.
You have missed the TV since this pandemic has broken out.
Yeah, it has been terrible.
They're showing repeats of Loose Women. They're showing repeats of Loose Women.
Have they shown the one with Meatloaf on?
No, I don't even think they're classic. I don't think it's classic Loose Women. I don't think it's like the best of Loose Women. I think Loose Women from a month ago, put on a month later with the thing saying, don't ring in, it's a repeat. Mm. I mean, you can put anything on. You don't need to put a repeat of Loose Women. People are saying, because those things have stopped, lots of production stopped. They've stopped making EastEnders and all this, so you're going to run out of that at some point. And they keep saying, oh, what are they going to put on in its place? And everyone's just saying, why don't you put old things back on? But all the things they're suggesting are like things you could just access anyway. And so it's like, oh, just put Blackadder on. It's like, but everyone, you've got access to that in everything. You should you just put films on. It's like, just put a film on. Don't bother repeating Loose Women. Put a film. If you've got nothing to put on, it's more offensive to put a repeat of Loose Women on than it is to just put anything else on.
Depends who's hosting.
Well, I think it's, I don't know who is hosting. I think it's Andrea McLean, is she called? Is that, yes? I think she's hosting.
Andrea McLean?
I mean, it'd at least be interesting if they showed some vintage Loose Women's from 2001 or something. Because then you'd have an aspect of, you'd get to see some slightly different hair. You'd get to look at them and go, who's hosting it this week? How did they used to do Loose Women? But there's no point in repeating a Loose Women from like 2 months ago.
Why not? What if you missed?
What do you mean, why not? What if you missed?
I mean, if they run out of EastEnders, do you know what they should fucking do?
What, put them on from the start?
Yeah.
85 EastEnders. Put that on, yeah.
Lofty.
You bet. Kelvin.
Adam Woodjat, as I call him.
You haven't met Adam Woodjat, Nick?
No, I was at an award ceremony with Adam Woodjat when I won the British Comedy Awards, the last ever British Comedy Awards, and everyone did just absolute atrocious speeches. Like, everyone got up on stage and got an award. It wasn't live. It was the first time it wasn't live. So there wasn't like a, it lacked a bit of edge.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
and I remember it, the,
normally it's like, gonna, oh, anything could happen.
Go on. And they deliberately made it so that nothing could happen.
Well, they did it in advance so that nothing spontaneous could happen. And if it did, they could edit it out. And
also,
and then,
it was post-Saxgate, wasn't it, the last one they did? So there was a lot of thing at the time about whether he was going to present it, whether Jonathan Russell was going to present it.
And he did present it, and he did an amazing job. I mean, it's weird. There's like three or four different Jonathan Russes, aren't there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't like his... I don't like his chat show, but he was great on the film show. And I've seen him interview Stallone and Schwarzenegger separately, different occasions. And who did I see him? Sophia Loren. I saw him interview Sophia Loren.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's absolutely incredible at that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant. He was brilliant at hosting the awards. It was just after... It was just after Paul Ross got found in a bush having sex with a man on Meow Meow. And I can't remember the joke. It was so funny. Jonathan Ross came out and made a joke about it. And it was just incredible. And it was just like, oh, good. You know, he's got a sense of humour about what his brother's been up to. It was just all funny. It was so funny. Anyway, so...
Natalie,
like,
can we get Paul Ross on? Can we get Paul Ross on, Natalie? Yes.
Paul Ross.
So keep promising this. We'll have them both on together. And the fella, the meow meow fella as well. We'll get them all back together.
But like, people were getting receiving awards and they'd go up and they'd say, oh, I wasn't expecting this. Just thanks very much. I'd like to thank my agent. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. And then they'd leave. And I didn't know. I didn't know I was going to win or whatever. It was, there were some really good people that were nominated. Joe Wilkinson was nominated.
What was the category?
It was Best Breakthrough or Best Newcomer.
Okay.
So it was Joe Wilkinson, Harry Peacock, and Matt Berry. And I just thought that it was weird. I think Toast had been nominated.
Matt Berry?
Yeah. I think Toast had been nominated for every category.
Yeah. And when was Mighty Boosh? Like 10 years ago?
This was 2014. So Dark Place was 2004. Do you know what I mean? It was just like being Matt Berry for 10 years. And anyway, so Shane Allen, who from BBC, said that before the show, he just said, "Look, just have three things. You know, just I don't know if you've won or not, but my advice is just have three things to say." This goes out to anyone else in any category in any field of life, right? You don't have to write a speech like Michael Keaton and then put it back in your pocket when the cameras are on you and look crushed, right? But if you can just, if you're going to an award ceremony, just think of three things to say that are of interest, and then if you use them, that's great, and if you don't, you know. But it's better to have something, because that award ceremony was only a very little bit an award ceremony. Yeah, it was sponsored by Lidl that year. So basically, it was an advertising opportunity for Lidl. It's only a little bit of an award ceremony. It's mainly a TV show, right? And they're filling up like 2 hours of TV. Make it fucking entertaining. If you're a comedian and you've been nominated for an award, don't just say, oh, I wasn't expecting to win. I'd like to thank my agent. Because modesty does not fill 2 hours. Do you know what
No,
it is?
And it's a comedy show as well.
A comedy show.
Specifically, it's a comedy show.
So I thought of three things to say, and then I got nominated, and I won, and then I went on, and I said my three things, and all of it made the final cut, I think. I think I said cunt a lot, so maybe some of that got trimmed. But apart from that, all of it made the edit, because it was one of the only interesting things that happened there all night. Everyone else just thanked people. It's weird. But one of the things I said was... you know, it was like, honestly, it was a huge deal. I grew up watching the Comedy Awards, and also, you know, and everyone remembers the Julian Carey, Norman Lamont line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so
there was Spike Milligan called Spike Milligan. Prince Charles a grovelling bastard.
Yeah,
when he sent him a letter.
It was that's
because it's a joke. Everyone's putting jokes in. That's the sort of point of it, that they all know it's meant to be funny.
Yeah, and then everyone gets outraged that a room full of comedians are trying to outdo each other. And it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that the year I won. It was a sober, somber affair. But I won my work. And so the thing is, I go up and I say, you know, it's so nice to be nominated with all these people. You know, Joe Wilkinson, I've always been a big fan, and Harry Peacock, we've worked together. I'm sure there's someone else, but no one's listening, it doesn't matter. So I say, Joe Wilkinson, I've always been a big fan of yours. Harry Peacock, I've worked with you, and you're such a lovely man. And I said, maybe it'll be your big breakthrough year next year, Matt, you know. Because he'd been around for 10 years. If I was Matt Berry, I'd be more insulted 10 years into my career. It, you know, if I got a best break, there's no chance of that, but if I got a best breakthrough award this year, I'd be kind of like, what? What was all that shit that happened 10 years ago? Do you know what I mean? It was like, if I was Matt Berry, I would be confused about that. Anyway, I said that, and I think he got offended by it. And it was just like, no, it was meant to be a compliment. It was meant to be like, you're Matt Berry. How am I? In the same category as Matt Berry? How am I in the same category as Matt Berry? How is Matt Berry in the same category as me? You know?
Yeah.
Like he's like you say, Mighty Boosh. I never really watched Mighty Boosh, but Dark Place, absolutely fucking incredible. You know, he did a musical thing about Easter. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
What's it called? ADBC.
Yes, ADBC. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's sort of like AC/DC, and it's like a religious rock opera. That was, you know, Matt Berry's incredible. So I think I offended him, but it was just sort of like, it was so clearly a joke about how ridiculous the awards were. Anyway, so I got my award, went backstage, did the red carpet, and then the awards carry on while you're sort of like doing the press run. And I looked down the thing and, you know, like 10 minutes later, you're still sort of like being interviewed and you're away from your chair. And I look down and the next guy that's won the award is coming down and it's Bobby Ball. And I'm like, oh, look, it's Bobby Ball. That's interesting. And then it turns out it's not Bobby Ball, it's Brendan O'Carroll. which makes more sense.
I can see how you get confused, though. They basically look like the same man, don't they?
Well, he had a moustache. He looked exactly like Bobby Ball, only taller. Yeah. It was.
And to be fair, normally he's dressed as a woman.
I mean, it didn't look. Anyway, so my point for all of this is that Adam Woodyatt, and I don't know how I saw it, because... I don't know how I saw it because I was backstage, but I must have come out and seen it, and then I must have had to do a press run. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Maybe I watched it on TV, but I think that I watched it on the night because I probably would have only watched my bit and then switched off. I lived it. Why would you re-watch it? My point is that Adam Woodyatt presented the award to Brendan O'Carroll?
Yes, yeah. I think so.
So Adam Woodyatt presented the award to Brendan O'Carroll, and it was the best speech of the night.
Oh yeah,
it's great. Like Adam Woodyatt smashed it. Like it was interesting. It was funny. It was sincere. He was kind of, you know, Mrs. Brown's. But I mean, whether you like it or not, it's a huge thing and it means a lot to people. To some people, you know,
lots of people.
Yeah, but like EastEnders, it's mainstream shit for the masses. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
And so you've got this one guy who's played, who's been Ian Beale more than he's been Adam Woodger. You
know, it's true.
In his life.
Yeah. So he's been, and also probably know, in time. In the grand sphere of it, if he spends 12 hours a day on the Albert Square set, he's probably spends half his life as Ian Beale.
Since 1984?
Yeah.
Or whenever it started, was it 1984? He's been Ian Beale.
85.
He's been Ian Beale more than he's been Adam Woodger.
Yeah, it's true.
That's official. I'm saying that.
He could be. He's probably like Two-Face. He's got two personalities. One half Woodger, one half Beale.
That would be a great
split down the middle
character for something.
Yeah.
Let's write a thing.
Don't put this out, Natalie.
No, edit this bit.
Get
your scissors.
Get your scissors out.
I'm assuming you're using scissors.
Stick a pair of scissors into your live computer and see what happens. I think that's how you do it.
But anyway, so yeah, he did. But do you know what I mean? So I guess that EastEnders has the same sort of disdain from, you know, especially sort of like an award ceremony for
full of comedians who are being cynical and being a bit.
Yeah, and everyone wants to be cool, and everyone's trying to be cynical and cool, and you know, oh, Mrs. Brown's Boys, and then Mrs. Brown's Boys wins an award, and Adam Woodjack going up, and just like literally. He put everyone except for me to shame because he had something prepared and he had something to say, and then Brendan O'Carroll went on and he made this lovely speech and he knew that he wasn't the coolest guy in the room, you know, and he did this really good speech, and then you know,
and it actually probably shows a lot of balls to show up because he's probably thinking, I don't want to go to that because there's all these people there who are gonna take the piss out of me. He's probably in a room with people who slagged him off.
It's like, I think, I'm not sure if Stuart Lee was in the room, and was he there?
I don't know. Wasn't there?
I mean, I can't really remember much of the night other than the fact that...
You won. And Adam Woodjack.
Yeah, I won. And I wasn't... I think I offended the people that made Rev. Because Uncle was nominated for an award.
Right.
He didn't win. Rev won. And I got up on stage and I just went, Rev. And I rolled my eyes like, why would Rev win? And a couple of years later, I went for an audition for Rev. And all the people that I had offended were in the room. Stuart Lee was there. He says, oh, look. There's the chat. I've got the... Oh, look, you've got to click on the chat. And then,
I'm not clicking on anything on mine. I'm dead.
I've
got to go.
There you go. Oh, hello. Adam, go on.
I was going to say, up until a couple of years ago, Adam Woodjack's other line of work is he's a photographer. So when I used to follow him on Twitter, he takes loads of photos, quite nice things. It's what he likes to do in his spare time. When he's not Ian Beale, he takes photographs as Adam Woodjack. And for a while, you could get
Adam...
No, no, not self-portraits, just like sort of landscapes. He goes off somewhere with his camera, just a hobby, I think. Like he's going off taking photos. And he used to put them up on his Twitter all the time. But then he also, if you clicked on his website had nothing to do with the fact he was in EastEnders. All it was about his photography. And you could book, a couple of years ago, Adam Woodjack to do your wedding photos. And I was thinking, that'd be amazing. But he's taken it down now. But for a while, I kept thinking, if you're a big EastEnders fan, you could literally have Ian Beale go around doing your wedding.
Even if you're not a big EastEnders fan, it would just be like, is that...
Do you know? No, I've never met him, no.
that's really... But that's like what we were talking about. Like, he's got a split personality. Like, when he's not on set, who's Ian Beale? Do you know what I mean?
Who's the real Ian Beale? Can we get Adam Woodjack on?
It's like Ian Beale's a real person, do you know what I mean? And if Ian Beale was a real person that lived in Albert Square... and wasn't on telly three times a week or however many times a week it was. There's no way that Adam Woodjack would just know who Ian Beale was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there'd just be two people that lived in the world that just weren't aware of each other. And so that's how he lives his life. He's just like, it's a real person, and I've never heard of him. I'm a wedding photographer. Now, stand together. And that's probably why he took it down. That was his conversation that he had every single fucking time. Yeah.
I think he did. He liked the idea of doing it. And I think maybe he's probably thinking of, like, if he ever stops doing it, you never know, dear. He must be thinking,
he's never going to stop.
I know I've been in it since I've started, but there must be 1 year where they're doing the contracts. And he's like, maybe they'll just say, you know what? We think we've done all we can with Ian. And then they'll probably, then he's got to think, well, what else am I going to do now? I can only be Ian Beale.
I think they're going to organise it so that when he gets to the end of his life, they'll actually film Adam Woodjatt dying on EastEnders. And Adam Woodjatt's life and Ian Beale's life will neatly dovetail together. And it'll be perfect. It'll be perfect.
What they should do is, it should end with Ian Beale going to the place in Switzerland where he can just die in death. Dignitas. He goes to the Dignitas, and they'll do it, and they'll film it, but then there'll be a point where you can see in Adam Woodjatt's eyes that it's a real injection. And they'll do it. And it'll be... Ian Beale will be... The character... It's all in the script, so he's playing the part. And then he's got, like... He's got the syringe in his arm, and there'll be a moment, you can just see it in his eyes. It's like, what? And like one of the producers, well, probably they'll get, like, I don't know, who's he, like, they'll get Kathy. Kathy will be there, and she'll just nod at him like, yeah, we did do this. And he won't be able to say anything. It's sort of gone on too long. He's just acting the part. And then we'll just see him drift off. And then both of them, Beale and Woodjatt will go at once.
Yeah.
And that'd be beautiful. It'll be a piece of art.
They'll wave him off to El Dorado.
Yeah. And then it could be...
But the way it works, right, is that Adam Woodjatt would be dead.
Yes.
But then 6 months later, when they air the episode, that's when Ian Beale would die. And so they would have different death days.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they were real.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
It would be beautiful. It would all be tied up in a fucking lovely, beautiful bow.
When you said he'll go to El Dorado, do you mean the soap or the...
The soap.
Yeah, right.
The cancer.
They'll revive it. Yeah.
That's where they all go. Pauline's there. They're all there. Arthur from the allotment. I think he was dead before El Dorado.
Ethel, she died, yeah.
So it was sort of like I Love the 90s or Greatest 90s Moments or something like that. And they showed a clip of El Dorado. And it was just, it was like, you know when you get like a camcorder and it's got a microphone on it?
Yeah.
Like all the sound was like, coming
it's through. It's like this show.
They didn't have microphones. And it was just, they were in like this really sort of like, they're in like
echoey.
A really echoey shopping mall. With people comping around with like high heels and stuff, and it was drowning out the vocals. It was drowning out the vocals of the two people having a conversation in the scene. It was crazy. We're over halfway through the show now. We should probably play a song.
Shall I play an Alice Cooper song?
Yeah.
Got one lined up. We're doing it now. Now!
Insane. Don't know why I'm here, why I've fallen from grace. I can't explain the burns or the scars on my face. Somebody please wake me up and get me out of this place. I said I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. They say, is it the message clear to you yet, Sonny?
What part of death don't you get?
Excuse me?
What part of death don't you get?
If this fucking turns out terrible, Natalie, it's all on you, all right? You don't have to release
We're
it.
On, Nick, we're on.
Anyway, play the jingle.
Oh, yeah. Play a jingle, hang on.
Come on, bribe the fucking desk, mate, or don't. But don't say you're going to do it and then
it's
fucking...
Radio.
You're lucky you're in another room, mate. Otherwise...
Do you want to hear some of these other ideas?
No.
We've got some new ones.
Have we got some new ones?
Yeah. We've got this. What language is this, Nick?
German?
It's Romanian.
To be fair to me, I can't hear.
All right, then what's this? Have a go on this one.
German?
That's German, yeah, you got it. Just keep saying German. This one? Got one more?
German.
You get that? German. Spanish, that one.
Of course it's Spanish. Anyway, so we're going to do some fan mail now.
Oh, yeah. I need to bring the fan mail.
Look, just to say that if you're... how are you finding lockdown now? Are you all right?
I'm all right. I'm like, I don't get bored. I find it easy to occupy myself. How are you finding it?
Aside from, I probably do go out a bit more when we're not. No.
I thought you meant now.
No. When we're not in lockdown, I probably go out a bit more, but it's sort of like business as usual. I mean, it hasn't been. I found my anxiety levels have dropped right down, which is really obviously.
Yeah. You haven't got to leave. You haven't got to get on the tube or anything, right?
It's crazy how unbelievably stressful I find public transport. Like it's insane. Like how stressful I find it, and when that's been taken away, and it was just like the prospect of having to leave the house and bump into people, and I get sort of like semi recognized. Like once every time I leave the house, you know, and I find that uncomfortable.
What counts as being semi-recognized?
Like people stare at you, like, and then they get their phones out because they don't know who the fuck you are, but they think that you're joining.
Right.
And it's kind of like, and it's only like once when back in the day when Uncle was on, nobody recognized me because it was on BBC Three, but now it's on Netflix, you know. I don't know. I get semi-recognized every now and then, and I find that especially. I mean, I wrote a song about it, but when you're on the underground and someone is sort of like taking photos, and it's kind of.
You prefer it if someone would outright just say, "Hello, are you Nick Helm?"
Well, I'm a lovely guy, is the thing. So if somebody comes up to me and says, "Can I have a photo with you?" I'm just like, "Yeah, absolutely." What I get angry about is like. When I'm out, you know, I was at a concert with my sister, and someone he kept sort of like angling themselves so they could take a photo, you know,
But without it is weird.
Just ask. If you ask for a photo, you can have a photo. If you try and steal a moment of my life without asking me, treating me like I'm an object, then I'm absolutely against that. I was with Vomish once, and we were in a restaurant. We were in Bone Daddy's in Soho, and it's a ramen restaurant. So you're sort of like sat on benches, but in the window, you know. But this, he'd done a gig at Soho Theatre, and I'd been to see him, and then we went to get some dinner, and we were sat in the window because that's where they sat us, and it wasn't like a big deal. But this guy just, the window was open because it was the summer. This guy just got his phone and stuck his phone under the window. It was like one of them kind of like, stuck his phone under the window and started taking photos of Ramesh. And I was just like, get this fuck out, you know. I was furious because it's just like, I'm right here. It's amazing when you hang out with Ramesh. It's amazing how many people mistake him for me. They're always like, they always come up to me and they say, can you take a photo of us? And I've got so I just do a selfie.
Here's a side to it that I don't really have.
But it's horrible.
Although I was once in the comic shop I used to work in, and Brett Goldstein, former fan club guest, came in with Nish Kumar, and they were both downstairs talking to me. And a girl came downstairs and seemed to be looking over at us, and I thought, oh, right, she's going to say something. And she said to me, excuse me, are you a comedian? And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Right in their faces, right in front of me.
Yeah. Kumar! No, I mean, it's fine when people come up and they're nice
and polite or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just so, you know, but also, that's the difference, isn't it, between being an artist and being a celebrity. And it's kind of like, I just like doing stuff and making stuff. I don't really, you know, I'm not, but that's sort of like, I haven't tried to be. I don't want to be a celebrity, but I do want to act and be in a position where I can make stuff easier than it is now. Not because of COVID.
Do you reckon that's easier if you're more visible to get stuff made though?
Yeah, because I reckon that if Joel Dommett wanted to do a sitcom, I'd go, brilliant. Well, I mean, his show was on ITV2 yesterday.
Yeah, it's really good.
And you go, there you go. So I think that, and also Joel was one of the most hardworking comedians on the circuit.
Oh, absolutely.
He would be doing 5 gigs a night. You'd turn up for your gig and Joel would come in and he'd be sort of not out of breath, not even sweating, actually, just good looking. and he'd do his bit and he said, I'd love to stay, but I've got to do another gig. And he'd be doing like 5 gigs a night.
Yeah, he'd have a push bike and he'd go around all the different gigs.
And it took doing I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here to get him anywhere, do you know?
Yeah.
But like, honestly, I love him and I've got so much respect for him, but literally just one of the most hardworking people that I've ever met, really. But he was sort of like hitting his head against the wall for years. And then eventually he did like this thing, which is not even related to comedy, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, well, he was sort of an MTV presenter, but you know, so he was sort of like semi-famous. But, you know, and then all of a sudden he did this thing and he's huge. And it's kind of like, yeah, I think that's the game, isn't it? You do that and it gives you that. But you've got.
And also, before he did it, you probably would have said, oh, don't do that. That would be a terrible idea. No one will, like, you'll just get known for that and you won't be able to do gigs or anything. But it actually is able to use that as a sort of platform to get stuff to a bigger audience. Yeah.
Yeah. They, they offered me I'm a Celebrity twice. Right, one year and then one the next year, and I had like a 10-second fantasy where I'd said yes. they you know, you go, I'm a celebrity. Wow, it could all change. Just look at Joel Dommett, and then you remember. Hang on a minute, I'm not Joel Dommett. the nicest guy on the planet, always smiling, always in a good mood, like psychotically happy. And and then you go, for Joel Dommett, yeah, that was a really great career move. It would sort of like, you know, it would, I mean, it would end me. Yeah. So, although I would... I would do strictly, but you know, because I love dancing, but that doesn't work for everyone. So, but yeah, just you're just, I think in your head when you see like the best possible case scenario is to do a Joel Dommett, and you go on and then you come out like this mega successful comedian. But I would fuck it on day one. I would literally fuck it on day one. They'd fuck your mouth or something on day one, and it'd be like, oh. And you wouldn't know. Do you know what I mean? It would be like one of those awful chilling moments, like in the Big Brother house, where they don't know. And then all of a sudden, on the Friday night, your name gets announced and everyone boos. And you're like, oh no, what have I done? Chilling. But like, there's Big Brother in like in other countries at the moment, and they didn't tell them about COVID.
Yeah, they did it all as a live thing, right? I reckon they just would have thought it was a lie. I don't know if I'd have believed it.
I mean, I think it would have been like, that. Well, it was like Dead Set, wasn't it? Did you ever see that? Mm. Where they're in the Big Brother house and there's a zombie apocalypse, and I mean, they're fucking crazy, just fucking crazy. I'm fine. I'm finding all of this stuff. I just, yeah, like not being allowed out. But like you said, I don't know where you said it. It wasn't here. Maybe it was us chatting the other day. But I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity to just watch films all day. I've seen less films.
Me too.
In lockdown. Me too. Than I would have done normally.
I know. It sort of seems extraordinary. I think because I feel like I should be, like I feel I should maybe be reading stuff, or it feels like more of an opportunity to do stuff. And
yeah,
it feels like a bit like I can watch films anyway. I can do that. This feels like it's more of a, I've got more of a chance to do something.
Yeah.
Oh, should we do some emails?
Yeah, you can add the music on after, Natalie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Could do.
Add the music on after, otherwise
okay. It's just about reading.
From Natalie King to everyone. Hello to the best boys. I've missed your gravelly throat, Nick/Nat. Nat doesn't really have a gravelly throat.
No. I think they want to address it to you, but I've been put on as an aside.
That's how I feel. I feel like most of these are for me, to be honest, Nat.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
You just sit there and I'll read my fan mail.
Could you read it out loud so I can enjoy it as well, though, Nick?
Yeah, you'll love this. They're being lovely about me. Hello to the best boys. I have missed your gravelly throat, Nick/Nat. I fancy a bag of knickknacks, but can't get a sausage round my bloody gaff. What snacks do you suggest to cope with the Rona? Best Hyacinth in Chelsea. Lucky old Chelsea.
I realised she said knickknacks. She said knickknacks, obviously because of the knickknack bit before, right?
No.
That's what obviously made her think of knickknacks.
Do you? I fancy a bag of knickknacks.
But she just said knickknacks.
To be honest, I don't know what the fuck Hyacinth from Chelsea was thinking when she wrote all this. It's all a load of bollocks. Do you know what I would... My suggested snack for dealing with Corona is knickknacks. So you're fucked. Nick, Nathaniel and Natalie. How are you, what have you been snacking on?
Natalie, me? I've been eating, I think, well, now's the opportunity, because they're all going to go soon. You want to be eating your chocolate eggs. You want to get your chocolate egg ration in now. So if you're going to shops, you need to be getting your cream eggs, your Galaxy Enchanted eggs. You don't want to be getting crisp now that you can get all year round. You want to be maximising your opportunity to eat some chocolate egg, get some mini egg action now. Because next week, you'll regret it. And you won't get another chance till 2021.
as not a fan of eggs, this is a particularly hard time of the year for me. So.
No, even chocolate eggs?
What I do is I get a chocolate egg and I smash it and I make a mosaic of Jesus Christ our Lord and then I eat that.
That's nice. That's appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. It's appropriate. Nick, Nathaniel and Natalie. Oh, did you add that bit in, Natalie?
No, okay.
Okay.
Well, we're not sure.
It kind of seems like you did.
You Nick, said it Nathaniel. To us.
From Natalie King to
we
everyone.
We did get this.
Nick, Nathaniel and Natalie. Nick, Nathaniel and Natalie, how are you all coping? Are you missing one another or enjoying the forced separation? Does it feel like you're doing an conscious uncoupling like Gwyneth Paltrow did? Are you kissing each other and rumping on house parties? Jimothy.
Oh, rumping. I forgot about rumping.
Oh,
I'm still not keen on it.
The thing about rumping on house party is that you really need to lock the door because anyone can join in.
Yeah, anyone could come in and have a thing. You need to press the lock button, didn't you? We did that, didn't we? We had a thing where we were trying an outhouse party. It was unlocked.
You joined Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett came on.
Burst in.
We're trying to rump. And then he came
were
in.
Rumping on her. Well, to be fair, you were playing quick draw, and I was meant to be guessing. But when the when the thing came down, I was wanking. And Rob Beckett got a virtual eyeful. Good afternoon, guys.
In two ways.
Yeah, in every sense of the word. Good afternoon.
That's from Jimothy.
I try and do my way of coping with the my way of contributing to society at the during coronavirus is to just write about wanking and cum on Twitter at the moment, and I think that I've really turned a corner. My anxiety level's down, so my depression is less bad.
Right.
So I really don't have anything to write about. So I just think, do you know what the nation are like? They're just like daily updates about wanking.
You're like Vera Lynn.
I am.
You're
a little
very
bit.
Much like the Forcey sweetheart.
I'm a little bit like the band on the Titanic, but instead of playing the violin, I'm wanking. Wanking on the Titanic as it goes down.
Do you know what? If the band started doing that, you'd have to go, well, fair enough.
Fair enough.
Might as well.
Good afternoon, guys. So nice to hear that you're doing another podcast. Must be weird to not have gone to your local corner shop for a few cans of Disney Pop before the show. Not even signed off. What have you rewatched recently and have been disappointed? Yeah, I know, I can see I've got a clock. Oh, you don't know, I've got a clock right here.
Oh, yeah, I can see it, yeah.
What have you rewatched recently and have been disappointed? Good luck in the comedy podcast devotees World Cup. All the best, Francis. Yeah, if you vote for Fang,
it'll be done by then.
You've got no fucking chance.
No chance.
I've got a huge stack of DVDs right next to me that I was going to go through and tell you about. I tell you what I've rewatched recently that haven't been disappointed about is, and this is a podcast all on its own. Is the Police Academy films, and I think the first four all tie together, and they're all good. And then I've got reasons for the last three; they are pretty bad. But the first four, great. The Steve Guttenberg one, great. But that makes me sound like a moron because there are provisos to all of that. They're new items. Keep it light. Oh, fucking Stuart Lee was there. We're out of fan mail now. This is just your. All right, so one of my favourite bands of all time is Fountains of Wayne, and Adam Schlesinger died last week, on Thursday, was it?
I think so, yeah, of the coronavirus, or connected to it.
Yeah, of corona complications, but the crazy thing about it is I've listened to Fountains of Wayne since I was a teenager. they're sort of like a more indie Weezer. I think they're very similar to Weezer, but I don't know anyone that like Stacey's Mom has got it going on, but apart from that, one of the things that, I mean, it's obviously it's awful that he died, but one of the things that I found out because I read his obituary was that he was responsible for not only writing That Thing You Do, which is
from the movie That Thing You Do,
the song That Thing You Do from the Tom Hanks directed movie That Thing You Do, which is like a pure 60s pop anthem. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But he also wrote all the songs from Musical Lyrics, which is one of my favourite films because of the music.
Maybe we've played it before. Should we play out with that?
I think we should play out with That Thing You Do.
Pop goes, oh, That Thing You Do. Okay, let's do that. Yeah. All right, thank you for listening. We'll be back at some point. Bye.
We'll be back next week. Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.